back, folks. I'm going to go to clip 15 here. Thomas Massey is apparently struggling for support. It's not a sure thing that he's going to win, which really goes to show you how effective the media campaign against him has been. Showing the fact, if you watch the Tucker Carlson interview, he talks about the fact that even after Trump had come out against him in the previous election, he still won with like 75-80% of the vote. So this isn't about Trump opposing him. This is about the concerted effort by Miriam Adelson, Paul Singer, and a bunch of other Israeli firsters to oust, you know, an inconvenient barrier to their ubiquitous support in the American Congress. And there's something almost offensive about how blatant they're being with this, because if these people just even had the most vague respect for the American people, they would put more effort into disguising their participation. But it's pretty blatant. It's pretty open. It's basically Thomas Massey went against Israel, so Israel will destroy him and get somebody else elected. And they're you know, pretty open about that. It's not exactly a secret what's motivating them. Thomas Massey is like the ideal candidate. He's proven himself capable in Congress of representing his constituents' interests. And yet it is a very telling fact that by controlling Fox News, you control the boomers. And you can get them to hate somebody who has sacrificed and fought for them and in favor of somebody who might not even exist. We're not even sure his opposition exists at this point. He got caught using AI to write a Mother's Day description on photos he posted yesterday. So Thomas Massey's opponent, Ed Gillane or whatever his name is, he posts two pictures yesterday. And in the description box under the picture, he accidentally included the prompt from the AI. So instead of just saying, "Hey there, Kentucky, happy Mother's Day to all the great mothers out there," it says, "Here's your prompt for a Mother's Day statement from a politician seeking to win office in Kentucky. Hey there, moms. We love Kentucky, mom." So, like, it's Thomas Massey, the real man who's born and raised in his district, who graduated from MIT and built his own house with his own hands and didn't even want to be a politician, but was already doing things, volunteering for free to fix some of the engineering at his local office, and decided to up his game and, you know, take his philanthropy to the congressional level. Like, literally exactly who the founders we expected and wanted to be the type of people to run our country. Versus Ed Gallarane, who is basically an AIPAC creation, a manufactured golem from Miriam Adelson, who doesn't even write his own tweets or, you know, photo descriptions, and has AI doing it. So you basically have a literal fake. I mean, it might as well be Kermit the Frog. Might as well be voting for Kermit the Frog and whoever's got his hand up there, right? Like, it's not a real person. It's an AI creation. It's a manufactured placeholder. And yet he might win. And yet Thomas Massey is struggling, which is really like the greatest condemnation. Now, the good news here, the silver lining of this cloud, is either we show that at least in a, you know, the most blatant example, Americans will have the ability to not succumb to Israeli propaganda and actually support America Firsters. If he wins, that's a good thing. If he loses, Thomas Massey for president 2028. So there could be a silver lining to this cloud, but let's go now to Thomas Massey, clip 15. He says, "Here's my last positive ad for the final week of the campaign," where he beseeches and asks for his constituents to send him back to D.C. But I mean, even the tone of this ad almost sounds defeated, which is pathetic, because that just means that a bunch of foreign oligarchs control our government, not us, which is obvious to anybody that's paying attention. But this really should be a final litmus test for whether that's true or not. Let's watch.
"This is home. It always has been, and it always will be. It's where I grew up. It's where I met Rhonda. It's the place that taught us both the lessons that we need to head out into the world. Kentucky is the place that welcomed us back to raise our own family after we realized there's no place like it. There are little towns like this all over the district, and it's an honor to be the one you've entrusted to fight for and represent you in Washington. If you'd told me as a kid that I'd been the one that got to do it, I'd have never believed you. But now, I can't even imagine not being the one who got to do it. So thank you for the greatest honor imaginable. It's beyond humbling you've trusted me. Our nation and Kentucky have enormous challenges and problems. But after every visit back home to Kentucky, and talking with you and holding my grandchildren, I'm more renewed than ever to keep fighting. I'm Thomas Massey, and I approve this message. And if you'd let me, I'd be humbled to have your vote and trust again to keep fighting for Kentucky.
So May 19th, 2026 is how you can vote, or when you can vote for Thomas Massey. So here's the Ed Galrain post. Here's your polished social media post for your usual in your usual campaign/community-focused tone. Today, I had the opportunity to meet with folks at the Vanceburg Mayfest in Vanceburg, Kentucky. Can anybody confirm that? Was he even there? I mean, was the picture AI? If you're going to use the AI for the comment, would you not just use it for the picture as well? Do we even need a real candidate? I mean, at this point, can we not have Miriam Adelson hit up some intern and be like, create a politician for me? And he can go to ChatGPT and go, create an image of a Kentucky MAGA politician. And Ed Galrain will pop up on the screen. And then they can go, here's your new candidate. What does he believe? Whatever Grok tells him to believe. Why not? You might as well. So that's the question that's being asked with the Thomas Massey primary. Do we even care? We might. I mean, if Thomas Massey loses, that's a bellwether. That's a major bellwether. And it essentially means, like, yeah, you might as well have an AI puppet, non-existent person. Like, why not? Like, can we vote for Superman? How about that? How about Miriam Adelson can just pour tens of millions of dollars into an ad campaign to advertise all over Kentucky, telling them that this amazing candidate named Clark Kent, a.k.a. Superman, is going to be their elected leader, and apparently get a bunch of boomers to vote for him. He doesn't have to exist. He doesn't have to be a real thing. He doesn't have to be a human being with thoughts and ideas. All he has to be is a vessel for the Israelis, and he might actually win this contest. So that's our country, apparently. And as much as I appreciate the likes of, say, Rand Paul trying desperately to hold Anthony Fauci to account, we got headlines like this. Senator Rand Paul says a whistleblower's revelation about the COVID cover-up is coming as the American people want Fauci behind bars. What are you talking about? A whistleblower? Really? A whistleblower is going to reveal something. Okay. What could you possibly need from a whistleblower? What could you possibly need? What could they possibly tell you that is not readily apparent from absolutely everything we already know? We have Anthony Fauci collaborating with journalists and scientific journals, telling them to publish material to discredit the lab leak theory, and then in the emails saying you better delete these emails because it's like criminal what we're doing. What's the whistleblower going to come along and say that? We already know that. What are they going to say? It was created in Wuhan lab from gain of function? Yeah, we know. What's the whistleblower going to say? Ralph Baric admitted to working with the CIA in the creation of the virus, and then that man in particular, Baric, was sent to investigate the origins and came to the conclusion that it was a zoonotic spread, even though he knew otherwise, lying to all of us, setting back any legitimate attempt to confront, define, and eliminate the virus. What could the whistleblower possibly tell us, Rand? Are we going to launch another investigation? How many times do we have to have incontrovertible proof of what we know before somebody acts on it? He says, today is the day the DOJ must charge Fauci for lying under oath or lose the chance forever. This man oversaw gain-of-function research at the Wuhan lab, lied to Congress about it repeatedly, and watched as you were called crazy for asking questions. The statute of limitations expires tomorrow. The American people have waited long enough for accountability. And it's not going to happen. Well, like I said before, okay, the statute of limitations for lying to Congress may have expired. What he lied to Congress about was that they created the virus that apparently, according to them, killed millions of people and destroyed the world economy and caused untold suffering to millions of people. What's the statute of limitations on that? It doesn't matter because he's never going to get charged because he was playing the role he was supposed to play and the people that helped him do it are still in power. See, the real thing to learn at this, as soon as we saw, you know, the email, like, you just have to understand that they're all in on it and that there is no hope of getting justice for this because they already know everything that they would need to arrest him and they're not arresting him. So again, the only thing to do now would be to expand.